Welcome back to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. Today, we're going to be talking about the Padres wild card race. It feels like that's kind of been the only thing we've talked about outside of Eric Hosmer lately, but that's what's going on. That's kind of what the rest of the year is going to be, I feel like, outside of little subtopics from, you know, here and here out. But any questions you guys have tonight, we're definitely going to answer anything that you guys got. But I'll start with you, Chase. I feel like you haven't been on a little bit, so what's your thought right now on the Padres, how they've been playing, and do you think they have the ability to extend their lead on the wild card this series against the Angels?
I do think we do, because Ohtani is not pitching against this series, so, you know, that's always a ray of hope. We got really lucky there. Really kind of just rides on Darvish on if he bounces back or not, because if he doesn't, I mean, then, you know, we traded a lot for a guy that's supposed to be our ace. And frankly, I don't know if you guys have seen the statistic. I think he had like a 2.43 ERA before the sticky stuff ban. And since the sticky stuff ban, his ERA has been a 6.43, which, you know, that's very concerning. Normally, he was going to be the guy that was going to go out there if we had a wild card game and we were going to be 100% confident in. Right now, it's between Snell and Musgrove, and it's kind of a flip of the coin between who you want there. But before then, you know, you had your top three guys. You knew you could go into a series and get a sweep. But now it's kind of like, okay, we have two back-to-back losses coming up in a row because of Arrieta and Darvish, and that's kind of not a good way to either end a series or start a series off. So kind of really feels like it depends on how those two do. Because I'm confident in the other three. Paddock has been great. You know, he had a couple mishaps. You know, I think I was the bad luck in that game. My cousin turned on the game on the TV. The next pitch I see goes over the wall, and then the next at bat also went over the wall. So I just shut off the TV there. But, yeah, I think the offense is going to be fine. It's whether or not, you know, the pitching staff continues to play the way they do.
Yeah, this is a huge opportunity for the Padres. Right now, the Phillies are down by 3 to the Brewers. The Cardinals are down by 2 to the Dodgers. This is, of course, as we speak. And the Reds are up by 1 on the Cubs. The Cubs, I mean, they could come back. They're on a 7-game win streak right now. So they're kind of getting hot at the right time for us, at least. Right now, obviously, everyone's confident in Blake Snell going into this series. Hopefully, he goes out there, does another solid six innings. And we leave this one with a W, gain a game. I believe it'd be a game on the Phillies and the Cardinals. And not to mention, there's no better time for the Cardinals to play the Dodgers. I mean, right now you try to get the Cardinals to kind of go a little cold. And then the Reds and the Cardinals will actually be playing each other after that, in which we'll be playing the Dodgers at the same time. And then after that, we'll be playing the Cardinals, I believe, if I'm right. Or the Giants. I forgot which one. But right now is definitely a good time for the Padres to start getting hot. They definitely need to, I think they need to come out of this one with a sweep. It's all going to depend on how Darvish does tomorrow. Darvish has not looked good as of late. His stuff, in my opinion, and, you know, let me know what you guys think. I think his stuff, especially his fastballs, look weak. It does not look like he has a lot of movement on his ball. Chase brought up the sticky stuff stat, and that's definitely the case right now. You can definitely see the spin on the ball is not the same. But for anyone who has spin rates, let me know if I'm right on that. But it's all going to depend on how Darvish does tomorrow, because I think Blake's going to have a good game today.
I agree with that as well. Also, the good thing I think for the Padres is that on Wednesday, instead of Ohtani pitching, which we said just like right when the episode started, but he's not going to be pitching. The Angels are going to be rocking with a bullpen day. They don't have the best bullpen in the league. That's a lot of the reason they're not at a 500 team right now. So that's a good sign for the Padres, as you know, a team that's been beaten up by throwing their own bullpen days, they get to go against another team. I will say I have one really big concern for the Padres for the end of the year. It's not going to be the pitching. I'm not super confident in whoever's the fifth guy, if that's Arrieta, if that's Weathers, if that's a bullpen day, whoever that is. And I'm not super confident in Darvish right now, but there's three guys that I'm very confident in. Paddock, this is probably the most confident I've been in Paddock since his rookie year. So it's been a while that I don't know. I feel pretty comfortable with Paddock on the mound. Feel very comfortable with Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove on the mound. And I feel like every single time they pitch, Padres have a very, very strong chance of winning. Unless this is my issue, unless these just really, really, really bad lineups keep coming out. Like, what is the lineup today? Tommy Pham is hitting cleanup. I don't even understand. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm pretty sure he's rated as the worst player in the league hitting with runners on and runners in scoring position. He should not be hitting cleanup. And it's just like, it's so random, I feel like, and it's all over the place. And I really think the Padres lose so many runs because of that. Like, there's so many potential scoring opportunities that get destroyed because they have some guy hitting way ahead of his spot or way below his spot, you know, wherever it is, just like not in the spot that he should be hitting based on the type of hitter that he is. And I'm very concerned about that. Because if that costs you a Blake Snell good outing because the offense doesn't get going because Pham leaves seven guys on, like, it's not even Pham's fault. Like, we've already seen, like, all right, this guy's, that's not what he's good at. Why are we hitting him cleanup? So that's why I'm really concerned. And it's not even about the pitching right now. I'm not ultra confident in it. The stuff I'm ultra confident in is right now it feels like Fernando's kind of getting going. Will Myers is as hot as anyone right now. Manny Machado, you know, recently hit a home run. Like, I'm confident in the lineup to get going, to pick it up, and the stars to do it. But it's going to be tough to generate those runs from, you know, the big spots of the order, like the cleanup spot, when you have Tommy Pham there. So that's what I'm really concerned about. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, and, you know, we all were like, why is Tommy Pham batting cleanup? But I feel like this lineup could be good if he just switches Nola and Pham. You put Nola in the four spot. Myers does really well out of the five spot. Nola hits pretty well with runners in scoring position. He may be a little bit in a slump right now. But otherwise, you know, I'm looking at it and, yeah, I think you can just only move Pham down to seven. I don't know why you have Profar hitting above Nola. Nola should be hitting with runners in scoring position because he seems like he always comes up clutch, you know, with a single or a double. So I don't know why Nola's batting so far down. I definitely would have him in the middle of the lineup over Tommy Pham at least. I like where Profar's at. With the way Kim has been swinging the bat, I think you do have to bat him eighth. So the only other thing I would probably do is move Tommy Pham to nine and move Snell up to eight because I will always advocate for the pitcher hitting eight. That's just me.
Yeah, I think the only issue I have with the lineup is Tommy Pham batting cleanup right now. I definitely think Will Myers should be batting cleanup as the best hitter of this Padres team in the last month. I would definitely, in this instance against the lefty, I would definitely advocate for him batting cleanup. As it looks like the Padres are kind of taking the 2020 approach where they're going to have Tatis and Machado batting one and two against lefties. So in that instance, Will Myers at cleanup is optimal for me. Now, like Chase said, I'd move Nola up to five, and I would probably have Pham batting so seven. But that's really my only issue with the lineup. I hope it's not a continued issue. Jace Tingler, for some reason, came out and said, I am happy with how Tommy Pham has been swinging it lately. And, yeah, he did get a hit the other day, but when you're looking at a guy who is the worst hitter with runners in scoring position and you're putting him in the most optimal spot, where you probably see the most runners in scoring position, it's not exactly a recipe for success, especially because Manny Machado, as a cleanup hitter, this would probably be against righties, but Manny Machado as a cleanup hitter is batting close to 400. And he leads the team in RBI, so that's definitely a guy that I'd be rooting to bat cleanup for the rest of the year. But other than that, I mean, hopefully Tingler figures it out. I don't think Grisham should be sitting in any case. Yeah, they're facing a lefty, but if you look at his lefty number or his numbers against lefties, they're actually better than his numbers against righties. So I don't think he should be sitting.
He has an 858 OPS against lefties this year.
Yeah, I think his average is higher against lefties than righties too. So he should not be sitting.
Yeah, that was the other part of the lineup I didn't like, just that they sat Grisham. I was a little bit just confused by that. Reds going to win tonight. Yeah, the Reds are up by one, I think, still. But that's my biggest concern I think outside of that, I think that they're getting hot at the right time. Two guys in Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove have been absolutely balling out lately, and that's helped them a ton. The bullpen's been better. Besides Melanson's very scary inning the other day, he's been really good as of late. That was absolutely terrifying, though. But, I mean, guys have come up clutch. Guys have hit at the right spots. A bunch of late-game home runs, and that's what it feels like kind of gets this team going. So, I mean, this is when they got to extend that lead, I think. You win two games here, you know, the Reds lose one or two. You have, like, two games on the Reds, four games on the other teams. I think it's, like, right now they have a game and then, like, two and a half. So you kind of start extending that lead a little bit, and I think they're going to be a little bit more comfortable. But I don't know, anything else that you guys have? That's kind of all I had. Feel free to start asking questions. But Chase, Isaac, anything else that you guys wanted to discuss?
I just saw this, and in his interview, he was saying that he's considering not doing surgery because he thinks he can take care of his body really well. My opinion, I think he probably should just get the surgery and miss the first month, you know, just wipe the problem clean off. You know, we saw Will Myers with this little bone spur in his elbow. You know, he kept saying he didn't need the surgery, but he kept missing time and time on the IL just because it was a nagging problem that wouldn't go away. So I think he should, you know, just get the shoulder fixed and let it be on its way. You know, sure, you missed the first month of season maybe, but at least the problem's fixed permanently.
Yeah, like Chase said in his interview, he's planning on dodging the off-season surgery. He's not completely ruling it out. He just said he doesn't think it's not off the table, but it's not something that he's considering right now. He said he feels his body's young enough and healthy enough to be able to withstand that injury. I don't know. It's obviously for his health, his long-term health, the surgery is what we want. I think the only thing that scares me is when I watch Cody Bellinger, he is turned from an MVP with the same injury. He went from an MVP to just god awful. And I think if I remember correctly, that's been the case with a couple of players. I can't name them off the top of my head. So you can look at it from both sides. You don't want to risk him, you know, because you signed him to a long-term contract. You don't want to risk his health, but his performance as well. So it's kind of a scary thing. We don't know how long it'll take him to actually get, you know, everything back, like, into the swing of things, but I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, time will tell. Time will tell if he gets hurt again this season. I hope not, but it's going to depend on the rest of the way. If he does get hurt, he'll have it. If not, he won't have it.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those things where it's completely going to depend on, like, looking back at it. Like, you don't know what the situation is going to turn out. Though I would probably say, like, just looking at it, I would probably lean like, all right, let's get a surgery. But you bring up Bellinger and that a couple other guys may have been like, you know, potentially kind of fell off, but, you know, slowed down a little bit after the surgery. Maybe that's part of the reason. Maybe if you look into that, maybe there's a reason for that. So I haven't looked into it, so I would definitely have to do that before I'd kind of like make my case there. But it's definitely going to be one of those things where it's like, all right, let's see how this goes. Here we go. I just read the Cody side. He also fractured his leg and his swing is broken. Missed a lot of time during the season. Next year he'll be back strong. Yeah, I feel like he's going to come back too. So that does make sense. It's an interesting one, though.
There's also one more thing. He did change his swing after the 2017 World Series, after, you know, that whole fiasco of him striking out like 30 times in a World Series. He changed his swing so that he's standing more upright, and ever since he changed his swing, he hasn't been the same.
But that swing's god awful. That's a golf swing.
Yeah, so he changed his swing. He tried to make an adjustment where he's standing taller at the point of contact with the ball, and it's gone downhill since then. You know, the injuries don't help, but the swing is broken, man. He should have never made an adjustment. He should have stayed with his original swing. And, you know, as long as Tatis keeps his same swing, and hell, he could even go back to his original swing with the whole one hand thing, which he's probably more comfortable with in the end. But he can't do that until he gets the shoulder fixed. So, you know, I just see more pros than cons in getting the shoulder surgery. But you know, it's all up to Fernando on what he thinks is best for him.
It does put a lot of pressure on his offseason recovery.
Yeah, he doesn't want to miss any time next season. That's pretty much why he doesn't, like, I don't know, like, I didn't watch the whole interview, but from what I've seen, he doesn't want to miss any time. And I've said it before, I'm not scared of him missing time just because I think CJ Abrams, if you give him enough spring training reps, he could possibly come into the MLB and begin as an average player and flourish into a star later on in the season just because of how long he won't have reps in actual games. But if you get him a lot of spring training reps, you can plug him in at shortstop next season while Fernando's gone. Because remember, I'm not going to say you can plug him in at shortstop for the long term. Because remember, Fernando wants to play shortstop. Seems like the organization set on him playing shortstop as well. So I'm not going to say that Fernando's going to be an outfielder. It seems like he's for sure going to be a shortstop.
Yeah. Got another one right here that we've discussed. But what do you guys think? Profart first over Haas. I think that it's going to happen against lefties. Don't think it's going to be the case against righties, but I definitely like him at first defensively always over Hosmer because Profar is honestly a pretty solid first baseman, but I also like him with the bat against lefties as well.
I just don't want Hosmer in the lineup. Like anytime I see him at first base, I feel like I'm more frustrated seeing him trying to field a ground ball or pickleball than watching him ground out to second base, because I'm like, I'm expecting the ground ball to second base. I'm not expecting him to like completely bobble a simple ground ball to him or completely whiff on a, actually no, I'm expecting him to whiff on a pick, but it still hurts to see it every single time. It doesn't get better. And then when you see like Profar actually be like a pick god at first base and pick everything, you're just like, wow, this is what having a good first baseman is like. Because I think I sent you guys a video of all of Eric Hosmer's defensive blunders.
Oh.
If somebody made a Twitter video and it was bad. It was bad. I stopped watching it after like a minute and 30 seconds because I was getting mad.
Yeah. I think Matt just brought it up. We had a video on Eric Hosmer yesterday and we were talking about how we think that Profar will probably face off against the lefties. And Hosmer will probably face off against the righties, which is weird because Profar is actually a better lefty hitter, I think. At least his swing and everything, you know, let me know in the stats, but his swing and everything, he looks like a natural lefty. So I feel like maybe you can keep him in all situations. But also Hosmer, I will give it to him in some instances, he actually looks like a good hitter against righties. So I guess you can keep him in that instance, but defensively, the guy is a huge liability. I think he had like a negative 12.3 defensive rating or something like that. I don't know if it was defensive rating or what it was, but that is also really bad. And for a guy that you pay that much money to, it's just that is probably the worst contract on this team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we can all agree with that. Now, Ty France is in Seattle making $858,000. And we probably could have given up someone else in that Nola trade. I wish we would have kept France. I liked France. He's making around $858,000, playing great first base, hitting really well right now. And I think that's someone that the Padres would like to have. I don't know. I think finally everyone's starting to see the light on Eric Hosmer. All the Hosmer truthers are kind of starting to be like, well, I don't like him no more.
And the funny thing is like, we've also been like, yeah, like he's good at hitting against righties, but the field, it's like always been the fielding aspect. And that's where everyone I think is coming around on. It gets frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We also got, did we have something else? I thought we had something. Oh yeah. You pulled it up. Never mind. Also, what is happening with Frazier? Just seems lost. Isaac, you want to lead this one off?
If you look at videos of his approach in Pittsburgh, he's very patient at the plate. He gets his pitch, gap-to-gap hitter. You know, where is that gone? Well, he comes up every at-bat, and he's swinging at first pitch, second pitch. He's not getting his pitch. He's not being patient at the plate, and I'm sure that's probably why we've seen a significant dip in batting average and probably a significant dip in on base percentage as well. He's not making hard contact. Like I said, he's not getting his pitch, and it's very hard to vouch for him being in the lineup at all right now. When coming into, you know, after that trade, everyone was vouching for him to probably be a leadoff hitter. I know Matt wanted him at 3 or 5. I think Chase wanted him at 1 or 2, right, Chase?
Yeah, I did, but the bench is where he needs to be right now. He shouldn't be starting. It's bad. It's bad. Almost all of our trades this year have been real bad. Mm-hmm. Speaking of trades, I wanted to bring this up because I just looked up his stats recently because I'm very upset about the Anderson Espinosa trade still to this day. Just so you guys know, he recently cracked 5 innings in a single A game. He threw 5 innings, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts, no earned runs. The next game, he went 4 innings. And then he got promoted to double A, where he went 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And while Mariznick has been sitting on the bench doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he does nothing.
And for everyone, nice. I know a few people were saying they were trying to bring up the fan graph saying that he wasn't really going to be anything. He's climbed up from not pitching at all to double A and has been doing pretty good for his first year back. We could use a guy that goes right now.
Because do you remember that all of his numbers were really bad in his first few starts?
Yeah.
It was like he had like a 9 ERA, like an 11 ERA or something after a couple. It was like really, really bad his first couple starts. Like he got completely rocked. So I feel like that is brutal. That just hurts. Also, Chase, that's been your guy for a while, I feel like, one of them.
Yeah, it was
I've been talking about him for a minute.
Chase is right, though. Like you shouldn't have given him up if you're not going to. I think – obviously, they probably didn't plan on Fernando going to the outfield. Now the outfield is really crowded, but you can't trade somebody like Espinosa, who at one point I believe was our number one prospect. Obviously, the potential is still there. It's just he's going to have to do a couple surgeries, but I feel like that'll be his last surgery. And if you give him time to grow, he could have probably been a useful asset in 2022 out of the bullpen and a possible start in 2023 if all things went right.
Yeah, and he has nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see, we got another one. Putters are going to have to absolutely show up for the rest of the season to have any chance. They need to be good. I think that one of the teams I think that a lot of people are forgetting about is the Phillies. The Phillies have been super hot lately. So the Phillies could potentially jump the Reds here pretty soon, actually, that the Reds are winning tonight. But they're going to have to show up. You're 100% right. Like they're gonna need to play very good baseball. Around 600 winning percentage, I'd say. Like, you want to be right around there if you're going to stay there. It's good that they've already, you know, since a couple days ago, since they fell back down 2 games, like, they have a game lead right now. That's a big step. That's a 3-game swing in, like, a week. So they need to keep doing that. But, I mean, you're 100% right, Luke. Like, they're going to have to ball out if they're gonna make the playoffs. And hopefully they do. They're a team that can get super hot. They're going to need to get really hot because – this road stretch is about to be brutal. It's coming up after this Angels series.
You have to win against the Angels team. Like, they don't have a bullpen. You are almost guaranteed a win tomorrow. They have no pitching in their farm system to the point where all 20 or 22 draft picks in last year or this year's draft were all pitchers. They are desperate for pitching, and if you can't hit against a team that has absolutely zero pitching and probably the worst bullpen in the majors, good luck in the postseason.
Yeah, I brought it up. I don't know how many episodes ago it was, but I said the Padres at the time had to win 21 more games so that way they could reach 90 and for sure make the postseason. That number has gone down to 17, and you absolutely have to get that number down to 15 after these next 2 games. In that case, you could go 15-8 and have 90 wins by the end of the season. You're going to have to show up. You know, you said you have to show up for every game for the rest of the season. These two are going to be prime examples of that, where you have to come out with wins. And the rest of the way, you're going to be playing the Dodgers and the Giants a lot. We pretty much kind of just have to hope that the Dodgers and the Giants get cold for us. The Giants are obviously very hot right now, playing against the Rockies. Just came off a 2-1 win against the Dodgers, where they were able to gain sole possession of the NL West. Who knows if that changes or not? The Dodgers are playing good baseball against the Cardinals right now. The Dodgers have been playing great baseball lately. Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler are looking like the top two candidates for the Cy Young Award, and we're going to be facing them both on Friday and Saturday. So we have, you know, it's going to be tough, but I think this Padres team can do it. They're built for these kind of moments. And like I said, if they're able to come out with two after these next 2 days, and they just have to go 15-8 the rest of the way, in my opinion, for them to seal their fate and not put their destiny into another team's hands.
Yeah, 100% agree with you guys. Any other questions before we take off of the game's about to start in a few minutes, but anything else you guys got for us? I will say, is the stretch on the road, is it Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals? Is that the stretch? I want to say that's the stretch because that's tough.
Let me look right now.
That is really, really tough.
So it's going to be 3 at the Dodgers, 4 in San Fran, and 3 in St. Louis before we come back home.
So they're going to have to do really good. They're going to have to get hot. The St. Louis series, when you're dead tired on the road, that's going to be – that might be, like, the series that really, like, decides everything.
Yeah.
Even though this season could easily go down to the very last game of the regular season.
I think if they can go 6-4 in that road stretch, I think that'd be good.
I'd be happy with 5-5.
I would be too.
See, I'm good with 5-5 if 2 of the wins are against the Cardinals. You can't lose to the Cardinals in this situation. You can lose to the Dodgers and you can lose to the Giants, but you can't lose to the Cardinals. And then even then, after that, you got San Francisco and Atlanta at home. You can't lose to Atlanta because the Phillies are fighting for that spot too. So if the Phillies take over first place, you got Atlanta to deal with right there. So you can't lose to Atlanta, and then you finish off with the Dodgers and San Francisco on the road again, which realistically you probably want to win 4 out of 6 to be like at least 4. Just even then, you still might go to the last game with 4 out of 6.
Got to sweep Atlanta.
You got to sweep
Atlanta. 4 games, sweep Atlanta. They haven't been hot lately. They've been slumping.
That's what I mean.
We still got that half
Phillies game. Phillies are 1.5 games back. Phillies are 1.5 games back. And they are.
Oh, so you're saying that the Phillies might jump the Braves, and the Braves might be the ones competing for that wild card spot.
Yeah.
That very well might be the case. And that might be better because the Phillies are playing out of their mind and the Padres don't control their own destiny with them. Then the only, I guess, the only true team that you don't like, it doesn't really control your own destiny. It can be like a margin of one game, but like, but the only team they don't play then is the Reds that they'd be really competing against. Yeah, I guess I kind of read for that. We'll have to get McConaughey on here.
And I guess the Mets could be very unpredictable, and you know they might just decide, you know what, one day they wake up and be like, yeah, you know what, we're good at baseball again, and just go on this hot stretch because you know they're only 4.5 games back too. I don't know what the Mets schedule is looking like, but
you have to remember we can control our fate.
We can control our fate a little bit with the Phillies and Braves, but let's see.
Oh, yeah, the Mets.
They got Miami, they got the Yankees, they got the Cardinals. Oh, okay, so we kind of have to bet on the Mets being a little good because they play the Yankees, they play the Cardinals, and they play the Phillies again. And they play Atlanta for the last series.
So the Mets could be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the Mets will do is they'll get just close enough where they don't overcome the wild card spot, but they'll just screw it up for all the other teams enough.
Exactly. That's the Mets way to do it, right? I mean.
All right. So the Mets have That'd be the unsung heroes.
They'd be the unsung heroes. Exactly. It would be the most Mets thing they could do.
So you're telling me that I'm actually going to get to go to like some Mets games out here, and I'll just be like freaking out for like, come on, Mets. For the love of God, beat the Phillies. but yeah, anything else you guys got? Oh, someone said, when is Stell's next start? Sunday in LA. Who would be going for LA that day?
It might be Kershaw.
Padres have hit Kershaw pretty well lately, I feel like.
So here's how that Dodgers series is looking right now. First game is going to be Walker Buehler against Joe Musgrove. Second game is going to be Max Scherzer against Chris Paddock. Third game is going to be, for right now, for the Dodgers, it's to be determined. For the Padres, it's Blake Snell. But the reason I said Clayton Kershaw is because he threw a bullpen recently. He looked really good. He's throwing today, I believe he's throwing three innings in Oklahoma. And they said if everything looks good today, he's going to be lined up to make his next start, which would be Sunday against the Padres.
So Walker just got rocked. I don't know if you guys saw that. It is worst. Yeah. I think probably his worst start of the year. Three innings, six runs allowed. Padres have hit Scherzer pretty well outside of their last start. So if you can get solid performances from Musgrove and Paddock, like you have a shot in those games, and they've hit Kershaw pretty well. I think this series, like looking at where they're at compared to where they were at last series, like the Padres definitely at least have to take one, but I think that you got to really hope that they can go out there and take two out of that series, because that would be huge. That is also a huge momentum boost as well.
You got to take two.
Yeah. And then at the same time, you're like, who do we want to play in the wild card? Because we can kind of control that in the end. Because it's between the Dodgers and Giants. So do we really want to go out against the Giants, play the Dodgers in the wild card, or do we want to go out against the Dodgers, play the Giants in the wild card? Who do we want to play? We kind of get to choose our hand here just a little bit.
Just got to win. As long as we win. As long as we win. So who would you guys rather face?
I'd rather face the Giants. I don't want to play you made me think about it. I don't want to play Walker Buehler.
Chase, what about you?
Yeah, but we just saw Walker Buehler just got rocked by the Giants. I feel like Walker Buehler – Kevin Gausman has been the Padres' kryptonite this year. I think I'd rather face the Dodgers.
All right. Yeah, we do got to get to the wild card first.
Wait, what about this? Yeah, do you play Snell?
Yeah,
that's what the Dodgers? Now you do. Right, we had this discussion a while back, and we're like, no, you got to go Musgrove. I think that's what I said.
Yeah.
But now, so we've seen Snell ball out lately. So
yeah, hacks.
If Snell's this hot, like,
go Snell.
Let him go 150 pitches. Let him pitch the whole game.
Yeah, hacks.
I swear to God, Tigger, if you pull him in the sixth inning, like Kevin Cash did, there will be riots in San Diego.
100%. Yeah, hacks. If we're playing LA in the wild card series, you got to go Blake Snell. However, I think, and I know Walker Buehler just got rocked, I definitely think that's just one of those starts where, you know, everyone has one of them. Max Scherzer had one of them against us earlier this year. This is Walker Buehler, if I can remember. This is like Walker Buehler's first start where I could think, damn, he got rocked. So I definitely think he's going to bounce back, and I would rather not have to face him. I can't remember a time where he didn't dominate us. He's always looked pretty good against us. So I believe we've beat him before, but it's probably been like a 2-1 ball game, but I'd probably rather face Kevin Gausman in hopes that maybe we would quite possibly dodge Gausman and face Desclafani. I don't know. I doubt that. But I don't know. That's going to be tough. It's all going to depend on how stuff goes for the rest of these 25, 26 games for all these other teams, because we never know who's going to be cold going into those playoffs.
I saw someone say would love Crone to stay hot. Yeah, definitely need Cronenworth. He was kind of slumping a little bit. Hopefully that walk off gets him going. What, he had two hits that, right? Two hits in his walk off game?
I'll check right now. I think it was pretty only sure. One, though.
I mean, if he gets going, though.
Two for three, walk.
Okay. Yeah. That can be the game. I feel like he usually breaks out like that. Like he'll have some badass moment, and then it's like, all right, yeah, Crone's good. Crone God's good.
Exactly. That's the God.
Yeah. We have a better chance at a chance of one of the game than five against the Dodgers. Oh, against the Giants? I don't know. Padres have played the I just don't want to play Walker. That's the only guy. It's like, I don't want to play.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you gotta win the wild card game. I mean, you gotta face the Dodgers no matter what. So no matter what, you gotta face Walker Buehler. But at least if we face Walker Buehler in game one, we still got four of the chances. Nonetheless, those four of the chances will probably be against Kershaw, Scherzer, and Urias. But we can hit Kershaw. We can hit Urias. Buehler's, I mean, Scherzer's balling out too, but I think we can hit them all. It's kind of except for Buehler.
Okay, final thing before we take off. Did you guys see this? The Astros pitcher reaction? I did not. No. I saw when he was walking off because he walked off very fast. But yeah, that's hilarious. If he just knows, like, oh, yep, that's it. So I saw, like, when Cronenworth was, like, barely out of the box, he was, like, already, like, he was done. He was gone. But yeah, oh, Gore started a few days ago. Gore just got called up to Double A, right, guys?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He did make a start a few days ago. It was 5 innings, 3 earned runs. His first inning was kind of where things went bad. He walked a few people, but after that, he settled down and 4 scoreless right after that. So, first inning jitters, it happens. And I think it's more important that you don't, he's making his way up through the ladder before playoffs start. So, we might see McKenzie go out of the bullpen. May never know.
That'd be interesting. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for listening. We'll have 2 episodes out on Wednesday and Thursday. And potentially on Friday, we might have a guest on the live stream or we might have a couple segments with a guest. But that is going to do it for today. So thank you all for listening and we'll talk very soon.